unlikely that you have ever seen a 900 in person, I'm pretty sure that you are familiar with this machine, which actually uses a video chip developed for the 900. Sorry for the technical difficulties. The Unix machine itself is so rare that only two times in the whole history there was a Commodore 900 sold on eBay. And one of them was bought by me. So in 2014, I acquired this beautiful workstation with no keyboard, no mouse, no screen, no software, and turned out that it didn't power on as well. So since I have only 15 minutes today, I cannot tell you everything I did to make the machine work, but this is what I wanted to show you. When I finally was able to turn it on, I saw that it was trying to load the operating system from the hard drive and showing me a very helpful and informative message saying status FF. So what the F is status FF? There's no mention of it in the documentation. So after scratching my head for some time, I realized that the only way to find out was to disassemble the boot ROM and try to understand what it's doing. So, anyone here ever programmed the Z8000? Me neither. So I had to learn, and after going through approximately 300 pages of this, I found the place where the computer was trying to access the disk. And it works like this. It places a command to the disk controller into the memory, and the disk controller is supposed to overwrite the status byte with its response. So if the status is still FF, it means the disk controller never responded at all. So why? Maybe it's broken. So I thought, if I can replace the disk controller, maybe I could make the machine work. But the problem was when I entered the disk controller name into Google, I got zero results, nothing. Today, if you enter the disk controller name into Google, you will get many results, but all of them are me asking for help on different forums. So turns out this controller is completely custom made just for this machine, so I can't replace it. So if I can't replace it, maybe I can fix it. So I started examining the disk controller board, and I found a broken chip. So I was so happy for about 2 minutes until I powered the machine on and I saw that, nope, it was still giving me the same error. So I replaced some other chips on the board. Nope, still the same error. So I reflashed the microcontroller on the board. Nope, still the same error. So I thought, okay, maybe I will disassemble the firmware of the microcontroller and then I will understand what it's doing and why it's not responding. Anyone here programmed the Intel 8048? You did. You have my condolences. It's a very old and very primitive microcontroller from the 70s. So after going through the disassembly for many days, I still had no idea what the code was doing. But fortunately, I found an ASCII string with the copyright note and the name of the developer who wrote the firmware. So I found the guy. Yes, so I found the guy on LinkedIn and sent him a message asking for help. And he never replied me back. So I was on my own. And I thought, okay, maybe the disk controller is not broken. Maybe the disk is broken. So I bought the identical hard drive and had it shipped from the United States, and nope, still the same error. So I bought a completely different hard drive and had it shipped from the United States, and wonder of wonders, I saw a different error message. So instead of status FF, the computer was now telling me bad file type. And it probably means that the computer does not understand the file system that's on the disk. But it also means that this controller works, and the disk works, and the computer can read data from the disk. So how is it possible that a completely random drive from eBay works, and the original one doesn't. And the replacement for the original also doesn't. Well, if you go back to the second slide that I showed you, it is an MFM hard drive. And MFM hard drives need to be low-level formatted before you use them. So by pure luck, I was able to buy a disk that was formatted in the same way that my disk controller wanted. And the original disk was not formatted, so the computer couldn't use it. And instead of giving me a proper error message, the disk controller just went to an infinite loop trying to find a sector on an unformatted disk. So maybe it's a good thing that the firmware guy did not respond to me, because now I had a thing or two to say to him about proper error handling. But okay, I had a disk now. But unfortunately, after playing with the disk some more, it turned out that every 17th sector was still giving me error FF. Why? Well, 17 turns out to be exactly the number of sectors per track. And since this is a disk that came most likely from a PC, if you format a disk on a PC, the sectors are numbered from 1. But this is a Unix machine, so maybe it needs the sectors to be numbered properly, starting from 0. So I had to reformat the disk anyway. So I went back to the guy that sold me the hard disk, and I told him, hey, I bought a hard disk from you. Can you tell me which controller you use with it so I can buy it as well and use it to reformat it with different sector numbering? And he was like, doesn't matter, just format it in your own machine. And I said, I can't format it in my own machine because I don't know how. So just tell me which controller you used, and then I will try to use it as well. And he was like, doesn't matter, just format it in your own machine. Just going back and forth like this a few times, I said finally, okay, I am going to format it in my own machine. So how can I do that? Well, this screen tells you, press any key twice. Don't do that. Instead, if you press 1 and then 9, you will go into a machine language monitor. And the machine language monitor allows you to put data into the memory. And like I told you, this is exactly the way you communicate with the disk controller. So I could use it to send a format disk command to the controller. And the only tiny little problem is this command is not implemented. So now I really had a few things to say to the firmware guy. But I thought, okay, there had to be a way to format the disk somehow, right? So I went back to the firmware disassembly, and I found out that, okay, there is no format disk command, but there is a format track command. So I could enter commands to format individual tracks one by one. And there are only 2,600 tracks on the disk. So if I started in 2014, I would probably be finishing a run now. So how can I do it better? Well, this is a Unix server, right? So how do you access a Unix server? Today, you would access it over a network. In 1985, you accessed it over a terminal. So if I could attach a PC and make it act as a terminal and pretend that I'm typing all those track formatting commands, I could make it work. And this is the program that does exactly that. So now I had a properly formatted disk. I was ready to put software on it. Software that I didn't have. But fortunately, there are images of the installation floppies on the internet. So I could download the images and make the floppies. How do I make the floppies? Well, the images are 1.2 megabytes in size. The floppies are 5-inch. So maybe I could just make them on a PC, right? No, it turns out I can't, because it's Commodore, and Commodore uses a different disk encoding than everybody else. So maybe I could get a Commodore disk drive from the Commodore PET that also uses GCR encoding, and use this one to make the floppies. Well, it turns out I can't because it's Commodore, but Unix Commodore, so the sextos are bigger than on the 8-bit machines. So maybe I could hack a Commodore floppy drive to use bigger sectors. No, turns out I can't because the track density is different as well. So at this point, I was like, really, guys? So in the end, what I had to do was to go back to my disk formatting program and modify it so that it puts data for every sector into the computer memory and issues the sector write command to the floppy controller. And it this way, it took only 18 hours to make one floppy. Provided that there was no arrow in the middle. So after a week or so, I had this beautiful set of installation floppies that I could use to put the system on my properly formatted hard drive. And when I did that, this is what I got. And if you look at this photo carefully, you will see that the root account has no passwords. So apparently that's how you used Unix in 1985. Thank you very much for your attention. I haven't been. Okay, you're asking whether I've been in touch with the guy from the YouTube channel. What was the name of the channel?
Retro Man Cave.
Retro Man Cave. I have seen the video, but I have not been in touch with him. He made the video recently, and I did this like 11 years ago. So no, I haven't. How did I celebrate? I'd rather not say.
Drinking Belgian beer.
Sorry?
Drinking Belgian beer.
Possibly.
Last question.
Great props for how you were doing. I think it was really great, but when you finally got the floppy images to install the system to your already formatted hard drive, would the floppies have given you the option to format the hard drive?
Unfortunately, no. It turns out that the system installation disks already assume that your hard drive is formatted. So there are rumors that there exists a floppy with a formatting software somewhere in Austria, but I haven't been able to verify the rumors.